aeroplane karaoke, and they hired out a whole aeroplane with his gospel choir. Our sole Saviour, every single day you're worthy, to you we give the glory. We think back to where we started and we can't help but lift our hands. When we encounter the true and living God, we can't help but worship. And with that attitude, let's turn back to Nahum. Now we're in chapter 2. We're thinking about how God heals and sanctifies. Nahum chapter 2. Your enemy is coming to crush you, Nineveh. Man the ramparts, watch the roads, prepare your defenses, call out your forces. Even though the destroyer has destroyed Judah, the Lord will restore its honor. Israel's vine has been stripped of its branches, but he will restore its splendor. Yahweh Rapha. Let's say that together. The Lord who heals. And of course, the vine symbolizes God's blessings upon his people. And he promises that he will restore the splendor of his people. The splendor of God's people isn't about being rich. It's actually about being holy. For they are placed as if as a lamp on a stand for all the world to see, to shine before the nations. And this notion of holiness, we see in the second one here, Yahweh Tsidkenu. The Lord our righteousness. As I said earlier, it is God who gives righteousness through Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we could be made right with God through Christ. Yes, we need to play our part. Yes, we need to repent. We need to say sorry. But ultimately, it's grace. It's grace. I remember as a younger man, I was praying once and saying, you know, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you for so many years, do all of these wonderful things for you. And I was expecting him to be impressed. And I just heard the Holy Spirit speak in my heart, and he said, you need my grace. Do you know, friends, righteousness and holiness for us, it's not about doing all these wonderful things. It's not about giving to charity and being saintly. It's about grace. That's what you need. Because ultimately, all men have fallen short of God's glorious standard. And yet, God desires that all people should be saved. We need his grace. And as we think about this notion of righteousness, isn't it wonderful to read about Jesus in the Bible, you know? Doesn't he give us this picture of faith that we're like, oh, I just want to be more like Jesus. We should be more like Jesus. I don't mean that we should grow beards, have robes, and walk around in sandals, especially in this weather. But characteristically, we see this picture of righteousness in Jesus. Can we have our next slide? Do you know, I think righteousness is a lot like IKEA. Oh, I've been through the turmoils of IKEA this weekend for my guest bedroom. You know, in IKEA, we'll go on the internet or in store and we see the picture, don't we? We see the picture and it looks wonderful. And we think, yes, yes. So we order it. Craig, next slide. But this is what it looks like when it comes. Oh, for 2 or 3 days, it was just sat in my hallway, ominously, overwhelmingly. You know, righteousness is a lot like IKEA. When we read the Bible, we see the picture of it, and we're like, yeah, I want a bit of that. I want a bit of righteousness. So we order it, you know, we start the Christian life, but then we realize, oh, how difficult it is, right? 3 or 4 hours that took. 3 or 4 hours, you see, as a Christian, developing this righteousness, it's not easy. Even if you follow the instructions and get a video up on YouTube, it's not easy, right? It's not easy being a Christian, trying to be like God. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that actually God made Jesus, who never sinned, to be sin for us, so that in Jesus we have our righteousness. Gosh, Christianity is so simple, isn't it? It's infuriating sometimes. You see, without God, we've got no peace. Within God, we've got complete peace. Without God, we've got no righteousness. Within God, we have our righteousness. Without God, we have no salvation. But within God, we are being saved. And it's not our own works. Grace is not a reward for the good things you've done, so none of you can boast. We are being saved. In Romans 8, we see that God foreknew some people. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters. Those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. The point herein is that God does a lot, and we just kind of turn up, right? Actually, you know, we could come with a lot of kind of pride and arrogance about Christianity. Say, well, I'm doing this. I'm doing all this good charity work. I've read my Bible 15 times today. You know, I've prayed for hours on end. We can reel off this great list. But actually, it's God. It's God's grace that makes us righteous. It's God's love that draws us to himself. And it's God's guidance that when we have what the theologians are calling an IKEA dilemma, that moment at about midnight, about half past midnight, where you go, I've had enough. I'm just going to sleep on the sofa. You know, the guests can just have my bed. I give up. When we're having the IKEA moment, God says, don't worry. My power works best through weakness. Yes? My grace is sufficient for all your needs. And so in the passage of Nahum, from our Christian perspective, we clearly have two groups of people, Nineveh and Judah. Can you say that with me? Nineveh and Judah. Judah is not perfect. They sin, they make mistakes, but they come to the Lord their God who loves them. Nineveh is also not perfect, and they don't come to God. And that's the difference here, friends. It's not that one's wonderful and one isn't. It's that one group, the people of God, come to God. And they come to God as if they are sheep following a shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows and leads me beside peaceful streams. The people of Judah are sheep following the shepherd, whereas the people of Nineveh, even though he tried through Jonah, he really went out of his way for him, they just didn't want to follow the shepherd. And so it is with that perspective that there are two groups, and it's not about us, it's about him, right? It's about him, the shepherd, that we turn to our final chapter of Nahum, Nahum 3, verses 18 and 19. Where this is speaking about the Assyrian Empire. In chapter 2, we saw that God would prophesy the fall of the capital city, Nineveh. Now in chapter 3, God turns his attention to the whole of the Assyrian Empire. Before I read it, just look at that, that last sentence. Where can anyone be found who has not suffered from your continual cruelty? If ever you needed a verse to justify, actually, God's judgment on evil empires, that's where it is. At this time, the whole region had suffered from the continual cruelty of the Assyrians. And God had given them 150 years. Come on. So let's read together. Your shepherds are asleep, O Assyrian king. Your princes lie dead in the dust. Your people are scattered across the mountains with no one to gather them together. There's no healing for your wound. Your injury is fatal. All who hear of your destruction will clap their hands for joy. Where can anyone be found who has not suffered from your continual cruelty? you know, the Lord is just. The Lord is a just God, and the Lord is a gracious God. Last week, we saw him give grace to Nineveh to say, hey, please change. And they did. 150 years later, no. They're back in the old wicked ways, oppressing people, murdering people, even doing child sacrifice. Where can anyone be found who has not suffered your continual cruelty? So we have these two groups, don't we? We have Nineveh and Judah. We have the Assyrians and Judah. And Judah really exemplify this notion of Yahweh Rohi. Let's say that together, Yahweh Rohi. That the Lord is our shepherd. Nineveh, it's saying, Nineveh had a shepherd. The Assyrians had a shepherd. It was their kings and their princes and their leaders. Your shepherds are asleep, O Assyrian king. Your princes lie dead in the dust. Your people are scattered. That's the point. When we put our faith in people, when we put our trust and build our lives upon people, we can't necessarily trust them. But when we come to the Lord, our shepherd, and we build our lives upon that solid foundation, when we come almost as sheep, just humbly following, just simply following, we're safe. What safety we have as Christians following our shepherd. And the Lord really... The Lord really, Riley James, wanted the people of Nineveh to come back, actually. We see in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And we see that God was so determined that when Jonah ran away, he even got a whale to swallow him and bring him back. There's no greater determination there. And still they didn't turn to the shepherd. Still they didn't come back to the Lord. Still they wouldn't humble themselves. I just hope that in our day, that we're not like Assyria, and we're not like Nineveh. And yes, we want to achieve wonderful things, but I just hope that actually we're willing and humble to come to God as a shepherd. Riley James, my perfect example here, when the disciples are hanging out with Jesus, Riley, he gets a child in their midst, doesn't he? And he says, do you know what, guys, the kingdom of heaven belongs to children such as these. When you come to God, come like a child. I planned this. And so if we just go to our final slides, Craig. Let's just reiterate this message. Can we say this together? As followers of Jesus, we should find our identity and security in God. We should respond to God's love by finding ways to emulate his character. We should be like Jesus. And our final slide, Craig. That's just what I want to leave you with today, is that we've read Nahum. We've come to church. We've heard about our Lord. But what do we take from it? You know, we get our identity and security in God. How do we respond? How do we emulate? So I want to leave us by thinking about the names of God and perhaps encouraging us. How can we find ways to live those in our lives? So let's say them together. Yahweh Jireh. The encouragement is to give your best offering to God. The best of your time. The best of your talents. Give them to the Lord. See what he does with them. The next one. Yahweh Rapha. The encouragement is to find ways that you can bring healing. Perhaps if you're a GP, that's all you do all day, every day. But for the rest of us, how can we bring emotional healing? How can we heal relationships? How can we heal broken hearts? The next one, Yahweh Shammah. How can you be present in others' pain? Sometimes the best counselor is the one who just sits there and listens. Not trying to offer a solution, but just there. How can you be present with someone this week? The next one, Yahweh Shalom. What is the difficult situation that you can bring peace into? What is the troubled times? Maybe it's an argument in the family or the wider family, especially as we're coming into the Christmas season, you know? What situation can you bring peace into? Yahweh Nisi. What is the problem, the strife, the trial you're going through that actually you could just go through it in your own strength? Life of people. But like the people of Judah, Yahweh Nisi, run to God. Bring that problem to the Lord in prayer daily. Prayer changes things, yes?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
The prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. So Yahweh Nisi, bring that situation before the Lord. Yahweh Rohi. Let's trust that the Lord is our shepherd and he will guide us through the difficult times of life. And indeed, through the green pastures of life. He will guide us into those places and relationships that are just a real blessing. And there's a lot of cake. And finally, Yahweh Tzidkenu. How can you draw close to God this week? Do you have a quiet time? What's your favorite way? Is it in nature? Seeing the Lord's creation? Is it through worship music? Letting that impact your soul? Or is it through study? Kind of really grappling with the Bible text? Or perhaps it's through fellowship, brushing shoulders with other Christians? I just want to leave you with all of those things so that the book of Nahum isn't just an ancient text, but actually it applies to us. That through this book, we see the character of God and we're thinking, actually, how can we emulate his character? With those words, finally, that as followers of Jesus, should we say this together? As followers of Jesus, we should find our identity and security in God. We should respond to God's love by finding ways to emulate his character. We should be like Jesus. And so before we sing our closing song today, I just want to come to a time of prayer. And during this time of prayer, I want you to lift up the names and situations that are difficult, that need healing. Perhaps also, given the nature of today, you might want to have a prayer of remembrance and such like. And finally, we'll just thank God for being awesome in our lives. Should we just bow our heads together in prayer? Dear God, we remember your sovereignty in Exodus 3, the narrative of the burning bush when you spoke through the fire and you answered, "What is your name?" by saying, "Yahweh, I am that I am." Yahweh, the most wonderful name that tells of your sovereignty above all other gods, tells of your eternal nature, tells us of your faithfulness to your covenant promises, tells us of your redeeming grace and freedom. We thank you that we serve and trust and love the true and living God. A God who cares as a shepherd. A God who heals. And so we ask you to look down in pity and mercy on all in our congregation and our extended congregation who are suffering with illnesses. Let's just have a time of perhaps calling out those names and also those who are going through recovery at the moment. So we think of Lionel and Wynn. You please say the names of your loved ones who need healing.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you that you know. You know every pain, and your word tells us you are close to the brokenhearted. We thank you sometimes that although our loved ones may not recognize your hand, our loved ones, our family and friends may not know you yet. We remember that you are a God who saves. And so we ask, by the work of your Holy Spirit, to commune with them, to meet them where they are, to dwell with them in a way that they understand, drawing them closer to your Son. And we ask for all who are suffering, perhaps with grief, perhaps with mental illness, perhaps with post-traumatic stress, especially on this Remembrance Sunday. So we remember those that have served, and we ask for your continued healing, blessing and provision. And we thank you dearly for the work they've done and continue to do for our safety, our freedom, and ultimately the wholeness of our society. Finally, God, we thank you that you